We have had a wonderful time looking at who we are as a church, looking at Scripture to find the light and the lantern to our footsteps. We have also been quite aware that the mandate that we have been called to do, the business that we are about, can't be done alone, and it has to be done in the midst of the context where the Lord has placed us to be church. Meaning that wherever the Lord has sent us, He is with us. He holds our hands and makes sure that we feel that we are accompanied. And you have heard how the mission has been presented from the time of the apostles up unto our time. And how the church has embraced that mission mandate in different ways under all sorts of circumstances. You have heard how the church has come to you, and you have taken the responsibility to say yes to the call, and you have also added your bit of sand to the mixture. Now, I think it's important for us to make some clear statements of what we believe should be the mission in the 21st century. God has blessed us to see the end of a century and the beginning of another. And we have thanked God for the contributions that have been made on our behalf. But we also need to think in the future. We may not be there, but there is some construction to be done. The work that we did last night, the work that we did this morning, should be building blocks within the 21st century. What I like to do now, and maybe some of you are asking, so where is the production that we worked on earlier? Now that you will get tomorrow morning. But what I would like to do now is just to give you some hints of what it would look like if we really, really did all that we say we were going to do, and how mission in the 21st century should look, or what are the areas that should be dealt with as we move forward. And what you're going to hear is some, perhaps, you know, titles of documents and literature that would be used by you if you desire to really get another sense of not only where the church in the U.S. is going, but also the church in Latin America, and at times even the worldwide church. The theme is Mission in the 21st Century. God's mission is our mission. The theme of mission in current in our discussion today is very current in our discussion today. But we need to talk about mission not only as the reason for growth in the church, but also the theme that gives a proper reason and essence to what church is all about. Too often have we reduced the theme of mission to the religious or theological discourse, leaving out important aspects of mission. The task before us is to explore different approach to the theme and be challenged to the point that we will renew our commitment to God's mission as our mission. It is evident that our missionary activity happens in the midst of historic crisis and desolation, where poverty, as we heard Father James speak to us, and our brothers speak to us about what work we do in responding to need. But not only poverty, but crisis. The mission needs to be accomplished in the midst of wars, unemployment, climate change, discrimination, and exclusion. These are the everyday companions of our people. These facts have also become the constant reality in many contexts around the world. We need a new look at mission, a look that would enable us to seek alternatives for community participation at all levels, especially the poor and the excluded, and those who have no economic or no political or no social power in the decision which affects their lives. Listen to what a Brazilian theologian defines mission in the 21st century like. Ivan Guevara. Mission is the common responsibility among people and groups in the entire world, with the objective to support the honest growth of our common life, to take care of life in the planet, and to put an end to the systems that support industries that build nuclear arms. Mission, then, is to make our relations and interconnections become real, so that our life action become visible. To meet this challenge, we need to use new references and change our behavior and conduct in many institutions. End of quote. Perhaps the most powerful image of mission was the one proposed at the 8th Assembly of the World Council of Churches in Harare, 1998, where Kosume Koyama says, God is the God that runs from the center to the outer boundary or periphery, transforming the outer boundary into the center. And the biblical reference for this is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 20. God changes that which is invisible into visible. When the parable of the prodigal son, he says, quick, bring a clean set of clothes, and maybe undergarments, and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Luke 15, verse 22. In this story, the father watches and waited. He was dealing with a human being with a will of his own. But what he really was waiting on was his son's return. God's love is constant and waiting. He will search for us and give us opportunities to repent. But he does not force us to come to him. God's love is constant and waiting. Like the Father, he waits patiently for us to come to our senses, so that the transformation and the reconciliation of this mission will be done. Some have said that we need a new commitment and a new understanding of mission. Missio Dei is participation of the people of God in his actions in the world. Let me say this again. Participation of Christians in the liberating mission of Jesus, the good news of God's love incarnated in the witness of a community for the sake of the world. The term mission does not exclude evangelization. Evangelization to those who are not evangelized. But it also includes the recognition that every missionary activity comes from God. And that this activity is made of a relationship between God, those sent, and the world. So you know, there are four levels of this reconciliation act. Because the relationship has been broken in four different ways. The relationship with human beings and God, that's one level of reconciliation. The relationship between human beings with other human beings, that's another level of reconciliation. The reconciliation of human beings with oneself, perhaps the hardest level of reconciliation. And the reconciliation with the environment, with creation. For harmony has been broken and needs to be built on again. When we talk about mission, we also need to talk about these levels of reconciliation. Because mission is holistic. And when we do this, we say that the church is a co-partner in God's mission. And as subjects in the mission, our responsibility is to discern God's activity in the context of mission and in the community. May I point out that in the last decade, there has been a change from making ecclesiology the center of reflection to making the kingdom of God the center of reflection and attention. We have identified some contributions in this new understanding of mission. And I share with you. I share some of the titles with you. Mission as Compassion. From Robert Swetch. This is an offer to the church, not only in Latin America, but around the world. It's based on a theology of mission that is based on the interpretation of the gospel of Jesus Christ from the rich context of compassion. This is an understanding of the compassionate mission of God for the transformation of the world. Again, this mission must be holistic, liberating, and ecumenical, committed to the suffering of the people and the passion of God. Another, the call of the missionary God from Carlos Cardoza presents the need for mission among Hispanics in terms of different theological education that will include a dialogue with sociology. Also, preaching in a Hispanic church has to relate the faith of the people with the action of God in the world. And as we mention other sciences as sociology, we also need to share with you the need to have dialogue with other disciplines. Theology, for a while, has been in dialogue with itself. We need to start bridging the dialogue with other sciences so that we have a more interdisciplinary dialogue to move forward in mission. Another, to do and to say. I repeat, to be, to do, and to say. Biblical basis for an integral mission. Padilla and Segura. Integral mission leads up to the understanding that every church is a missionary church by nature. And that the mission of the church has to do with all aspects of human life. The Missio Dei can't be reduced to the spiritual or the individual or the sacred. Rather, it relates to the material and the social and the secular as well. With this understanding, the church, as an agent of God's mission, is expected to cross many frontiers, not only geographically, but cultural, political, social, and economic, in order to collaborate with God in His purpose of transforming human life in all dimensions, so that women, men, and children would enjoy life to its fullest as God has made it possible through Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit. Jesus said, "I came so that you will have life and life abundant." John 10 and 10. Another, called to be partners in the service of Christ, as K. George, presents the practice of God's mission in unity. It's the recognition that there is a scandal because of the division of the church or the division in the denominations. And it states that this division has made the church's message on unity weak and ineffective. Remember, the message of unity, John 17, 2021. Another, after the Conference for Mission and Evangelism in Greece, Athens, in the year 2005, the elements of healing and reconciliation became important elements to the mission of God. At the end of the message was this: we are called to do God's mission because we are sent to a broken and fragmented world to do the work. Remember the question we asked today? Why do we do this? Well, as Christians, we are united in the belief that we are called in Christ to be a community of healing and reconciliation. There are new paradigms for mission in the 21st century also. And they are. We are called to participate in the mission of God so that there is life and life abundant. Because the church is called to offer alternative paradigms in the ideology of consumerism in the world. We are called to set the boundaries and use its authority to say, the church is called to set the boundaries and use its authority to say, stop. To fall into the temptation of power, possession, and wealth. To make sure that the values of the first Christian community are raised up as we seek to share our food and properties with the needy. And to reclaim our prophetic voice. Reclaim our prophetic voice that is so needed among our people these days. It is not easy to be a prophet, for you know how prophets die. But we are called to tell the truth and reclaim our prophetic voice. And again, we are called to make this voice be on time. In some places, the church is the last to have a say. When everybody else has something to say, the church is the last. In some places, not in every place. Another paradigm We are called to live in community. Some perceive salvation as something between the individual and God and cannot see the function of the community of faith, the church. We need to recover the importance of the church as an instrument in relation to God, other people, and the whole creation, as well as the concept of salvation in and throughout the community. Another paradigm. We are called to recognize the function of women in the mission of the church. And I'm so happy to see so many sisters at the Diocese of Virginia have so many ordained women. I've been in places where that's not the reality. Panama was the first country in Central America to ordain women. Nicaragua just started last year. Women, you bring something special, not only to the table, to the mission. That's a special touch. And that's important. And nobody should look down on you and say that you don't make a significant contribution to the mission of the church. But you are not the only ones that have once been excluded. There are lots of younger people also, and younger women. And sometimes it's women that prevent other younger women from coming in and making a contribution. Hello? We are called to recognize the function of women in the mission of the church. Women have offered integrity and abundant examples of faithfulness in the community as part of the mission of the church. Women, you are examples of those who have also preached and gave testimony and suffered martyrdom because of the gospel. And there are many women who are also considered equal among the apostles. Another paradigm. We are called to incarnate the gospel in every culture. There you go. Incarnate the gospel in every culture. Visiting in Brazil, in a place called Salvador Bahia, we heard of the intentional approach from the indigenous and Afro descendant. And as they affirm, it's impossible to be human and don't belong to any culture. Because of culture, there is an identity. The indigenous groups and the African descendants challenged the church to recognize the richness of culture and spirituality that shape the interconnection with God's creation. For a long time, countries in Latin America were always putting aside or putting down the spirituality from the indigenous groups and from the Afro-descendant groups. And the story is told that that is the spirituality that gave them the resistance so that their contributions could be heard and seen today. Because of the Roman Catholic influence, all of this was looked upon as witchcraft. But it's the spirituality from the indigenous groups and the spirituality from Afro-descendant groups that shaped the hope of the people as they were under so much pressure and oppression. The fate of the people, their resistance, their spirituality, the way they relate to God. And in many places in Latin America and other places, just like in the U.S., the indigenous groups are being recognized for their contribution to the spirituality and the relationship of God with creation. A last paradigm. We are called to have interreligious dialogue. In the 21st century, the religious pluralism is one of the greatest challenges that Christian mission faces. This is a worldwide reality. For Christians, the only way to salvation is in Christ Jesus. On the other hand, we recognize that we can't set limits to the redeeming power of God. Among these two affirmations, there is a tension that is not solved as yet. I conclude affirming that the Christian mission experience is a holistic answer by which the church reaches people by evangelism and service. Evangelism and diaconia. The mission is made up of responsibility, affirmation, and the renovation of the people's hope in that abundant life promised by Jesus Christ. The mission is started in the heart of God. The abundant grace that comes from the Trinity is sufficient for all that God has created. Thank you. Gracias. Gracias. Señor Obispo. Gracias. Thank you. We have time, do we? Yes.
You mentioned that there is a declining emphasis on biblical theology and a higher emphasis on the kingdom of God. I wonder if you would say something about that and how they might actually both be equally needed. For me, the church is a sacrament.
And that is exactly where we are headed. In some instances, there was this perception that the kingdom of God was the church. And it needs to be clarified that the kingdom of God is not the church. The kingdom of God is bigger than the church. And that the church is a challenge, a channel. And it's a concrete way in identifying signs of the kingdom, but not the kingdom. So the effort has to be done more and more in raising up the signs and values of the kingdom. Now, in some instances, the word kingdom was challenged to say the reign of God. But again, what about the values and the signs that have to be raised up? Some values that didn't disappear, but they just ceased to have the same value. Now again, when you think of the ecclesiology that we have been working with, you also have to define the ecclesiology in terms of the relationship with culture. Not imposing, but making space so that both can have this ongoing dialogue or perhaps an ongoing tension. The idea is the church is not the kingdom. The church in itself is not the big picture. Church is one of the avenues of constructing the kingdom. Yes, but not yet. Begun, not concluded. An agent of the kingdom. So that's what the church is at. So when the church sees itself in terms of the mission that it's doing, is not for self-propagation. It's so that the kingdom can become more and more a reality in the context where God has called us to be church. Does that help? there are two levels of the ecumenical movement happening in Latin America, for instance. One of them, I have the opportunity of chairing, will be the Latin American Council of Churches. And within the evangelical body, where Pentecostals are participating along with the historic churches. And there's another level of conversation going on with the Roman Catholic Church through the SELAM. Now, it's interesting that, yes, the different groups have been moving away that missionary work that they used to be doing, and they're trying to enforce more of the native people becoming part of expressions of missionary work. So yes, there are two levels of ecumenism, and there is a conversation with Rome. Now, because of certain documents of Monsignor Ratzinger, those conversations become more and more tense. Nevertheless, there is an intention to continue making sure that our brothers in the Roman Catholic Church just don't go away from the table. But we are also making sure that Pentecostals be recognized at the table. I had the opportunity to be in Colombia a couple months ago with the new Secretary General for the SELAM. SELAM is the gathering of bishops in Latin America. And he was saying, why don't we come together to see how we can, you know, fight against the new religious movements. And I said, you want us to come together when we can't even come together at the Lord's table? But you want us to come together to be a force against another religious group? I think there's something wrong in the picture. It is very interesting to see how evangelicals and Roman Catholics at a given time become kind of a together. It's interesting, but for the wrong reasons. For the wrong reasons. So the ecumenical dialogue is always trying to be very careful, but also to be another expression of the prophetic voice of the church. The dialogues are there. And I understand that because of some economic reasons is why we don't hear much of Jesuits and Marinol in their participations, because they have been not receiving the funding that they would like to have. But they have made many contributions and continue to do so in El Salvador, in Nicaragua, even in Haiti, in Dominican Republic. And the thing is, how can they call new vocations and try to raise them up from the local church? The ecumenical conversation is not an easy conversation. And it's happening. It's happening. Yes. You had a question. I just named one, solidarity, the value of solidarity, the capacity that one has to stand in the other's shoe and make sure that dignity is respected and human rights are respected. When we stand with our brothers and sisters who are excluded, when we make sure that we create space so that they can be recognized and have their dignity again, we're talking about the kingdom values of solidarity. One of the values. And to add to that example, what is happening, for instance, in Germany also, where churches used to get a lot of funding to do a lot of service, diaconia, and missionary work. And the government is freeing up more funds so that the church will be able to do this. And you have institutions or foundations like Bread for the World and EED coming together with funds that the government are really providing so that more of the service work be done. The diaconical arm of the church is becoming stronger in these areas and at sometimes benefiting communities out of Europe where the church can be again be visible and be a testimony of life abundance. So yes, the culture is also doing its part, but I think the governments are also understanding that they can't do it all by themselves. Now there's another outlook of the whole thing. In Latin America, for instance, governments are very careful because the church ended up doing what the government should have been doing. And funding in Latin America is becoming less and less available. And they're saying, in order for you to do this type of work, we're not going to channel the funds through churches, but you need to be en español, ONG, NGO. NGOs, so that this work will be done. That's changing. Because then you had NGOs and churches kind of a jockeying for money to get the projects done. The governments in Latin America are saying, we need the church, we need the social society to be organized so that we can really work in development within the communities. So we're slowly getting to do that in areas like Latin America and even in America. I don't see anybody else running to the mic. Again, thank you very much for having me, and thank you for making space for a Latin American voice to be heard. I think it's of great importance that we can have these type of encounters, as I was sharing with Bishop Shannon, and he agreed, sometimes our news media doesn't give us all the information we need to get. And I tell you, in the relationship that you have with any other companion out of the U.S. will always keep you abreast and in touch with what is happening. And somebody came up to me and they asked, are North American well perceived in Panama and in Central America? North Americans have always been well perceived. If we do have some problems, is with your previous administration. But there you go. I think it's a two-way street. It is important for us to have an opportunity to share what is happening. And when your sister churches in Latin America pray, we do pray that your administration will become more human and that there will be more opportunities for people to really live and develop in life abundant. So again, I say thank you very, very much for this opportunity. And this has been a humbling experience. Yes, it took some time to kind of get agendas together, but I felt responsible the first time we had an opportunity in council. And then now this is the second time around. And I hope that whatever we have shared with you will be of good use. Some people say at the end, oh, it was very good. Thank you very much. But my question is, would you use what we kind of tried out here? Only when you use it, you will know if it's good or not. Muchas gracias. Buenas noches. Thank you.